Due to this service of the Augusta Road congregation, thank you very, very much for being here. I love the book of Joshua, and I want to study from the book of Joshua tonight. Joshua chapter 14 is where we will be studying from this evening. So if you would, take a moment, open your Bibles there. It'll be well worth your time because we're going to notice a large chunk of the chapter. Joshua chapter 14. When I think about the book of Joshua, I think of it a little bit as the children of Israel's victory lap. Every Sunday, Steve asks me if I saw the race today. And every Sunday, I say no. And he keeps on asking. He's very persistent. And that's great because one of these days, as a matter of fact, one of these days when y'all are tired of Steve, you let me know and I'll shock him. I'll say, yes, I saw the race. And he'll pass out. And we'll have a we'll have a little bit of a break. But I enjoy the book of Joshua because it reminds me of the children of Israel's victory lap in the promised land. The children of Israel really and truly should have been in the promised land, occupying it a generation ago. In Joshua chapter 14, we know that there's a second generation of the children of Israel who are now occupying the promised land. The first generation, they failed to take the promised land back in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. We'll study that portion of Scripture in our sermon tonight. But it's a new generation, a second generation of God's people, because that first generation proved unfaithful. They disobeyed God, and so as a result, they died. They were punished by the Lord. And so now, Joshua, he is the new leader. Moses is no longer at the helm of the nation of Israel for reasons that are discussed at length in Numbers chapter 20. We'll study that one of these days too, I'm sure. But Joshua is now the new leader. And in Joshua chapter 14, if you're following along in your Bibles or on your phones, that's all right. Let's just notice these together. We'll see that we can follow the events of the chapter by seeing some of the main people doing the speaking, like a play or like a movie. We can follow the events by noticing the dialogue. And at the beginning here, Caleb is the one doing the talking. Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse number 6. Caleb, he seizes the moment. He takes the floor. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, he speaks up and he says, you know the word of the Lord spoken to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me. Caleb is speaking to Joshua. And Caleb is reminding Joshua, not that the events have faded from Joshua's memory, but Caleb is reminding Joshua about his past performance. And Caleb is reminding Joshua that at the age of 40, verse number 7, Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, at the age of 40, Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him that was of what was in my heart. Caleb goes on to say, nevertheless, my brethren, they caused the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Well, what Caleb is doing here is reflecting on the events of Numbers chapter 13. And so if you want to hold your finger here in Joshua chapter 14 and flip back a little bit to Numbers chapter 13. We'll get the full background of what it is that Caleb's talking about. In Numbers chapter 13, the people departed. They came back to Moses. They were sent into the promised land for purposes of spying it out. They come back to Moses and Aaron, Numbers 13 verse 26. And to all the congregation of the children of Israel. And here's what they said. They brought back word and showed them the fruit of the land. They remarked, verse number 27, we went into the land where you sent us, and truly it flows of milk and honey, just like God said it would. Now, those of us who attended the Carolina Men's Fellowship yesterday, we were reminded in one of those lessons that the portion of the land that the children of Israel went into first, this portion of the land where they first went in to spy, to plot the course of conquest, this was the least fertile of the promised land. And even it being the least fertile of the promised land, it's described as a land that flows with milk and honey. And everything that God said about it was true. This is the fruit of it. They took a portion of the fruit to bring back and show. And verse number 28, Numbers chapter 13, verse 28, nevertheless, these spies continue their report. The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They're very large. Right here is where the problems begin, right? 12 spies went into the promised land, one spy from each tribe. They spent 40 days in the promised land. And they come back and they say, everything that God has said about it's true. It's surely a land that flows with milk and honey. But then they stop. They stop focusing on what God said. And they start focusing on what they think. And they go on to say the people who are in the land, they're too strong. They're too well fortified. The cities, they're impenetrable. And we're not going to be able to take this land. Mind you, God said, go into the land and take it. I've given it to you. But the people say, we don't think that's going to work. So Caleb is the one we're reading about in Joshua chapter 14. Here he is in action in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take this land, we are well able to overcome it. But the men, they gathered. They said, no, it's not going to work. 10 of the 12 spies brought back a bad report. Verse 32 says, Caleb here in Joshua chapter 14, as he's reminiscing on these events, he says that the report of the people caused their hearts to melt. But Caleb acknowledges here, 45 years later, he acknowledges that I wholly followed the Lord. So we see Caleb talking about his past performance here. He's talking about how faithful he had been to God. And there was a promise associated with that. We'll see that next. As Moses is not alive here. He's not truly one of the speakers in the scene of Joshua chapter 14. But Moses' words play a very central role here in what's going on. Moses' words are reminded that they're brought up in verse number 9, Joshua chapter 14, verse 9. Moses swore on that day saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you've wholly followed the Lord my God. So way back here in Numbers chapter 13, Moses sees the faithfulness of Caleb and Joshua, and Moses announces that the faithfulness of Joshua and Caleb will be rewarded. It's not going to be forgotten. Do you remember much, much later, from this point in time at least, much, much later, Jesus would say to his followers, not even a cup of cold water will be given in his name that will not go unrewarded. Here, in a sea of people who do not want to follow God, here in a sea full of people who are being discouraged and talked out of doing what God wants, Joshua and Caleb stand out like lights. We're told that we need to let our light shine. Maybe you go to a school or maybe you go to a place of work where where there's not a lot of Christian light shining. I understand that. One of the things I enjoy most about being a preacher is working with people who are members of the church. That is fantastic. I understand it can't be that way for everybody. So you go to a school where the Christian lights are low. You go to a place of employment where Christian lights are hardly noticeable at all. I want you to see from Joshua and Caleb's life the difference that a little light can make. And in the whole group of people, if you go to Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, you see just how flip-flop the odds were. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, "So all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried because they didn't want to go into the promised land." So it was everybody versus Joshua and Caleb. Of the 12 spies that went into the promised land, 10 of them brought back this negative report that said, "We can't do what God wants us to do." Just two, those are not very good odds, 2 versus 10. Just two, Joshua and Caleb said, let's do what the Lord wants us to do. And Moses took note of it, and Moses promised that Joshua and Caleb's faithfulness will be rewarded. So while this faithless generation were dying off in their wanderings one by one by one, God kept Joshua and Caleb alive. God's promise is abiding, you see. It doesn't matter how long it had been since the Lord made this promise. The Lord was going to keep His word, because that's what God does. If you look in Joshua chapter 14, at the end of verse number 10 here, we get a time marker. We get a time stamp. Here, in Joshua chapter 14, verse 10, Caleb announces that he is now 85 years old. I'm sure he didn't look a day past 83. He's 85 years old here. Not that that's old. But 45 years had passed when Joshua and Caleb were investigating the promised land. He announces that he was age 40. Now, 45 years later, Caleb expects to cash in on God's promise. In fact, he takes the stage next, and he continues, Caleb does, and he now petitions the Lord. He petitions Joshua that he be given what he was told he would get. Moses promised this, and so Caleb comes back and he says, "Now, verse 10, now behold, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years since the first events took place back in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. And Caleb says, "I'm here, 85 years old." He makes this declaration, verse number 11. How about this? He says, "I'm as strong this day as I was on that day 45 years ago." He had aged very, very well. And now he's ready to go in and take the land that was promised to him. Caleb, you have to love him here. He has not a single sense of entitlement in his bones. Caleb doesn't want somebody else to do the work. Verse number 12, this is a famous verse in the book of Joshua, and one that our kids may want to memorize. It's a doozy. It's a big one to memorize, but I think they can do it. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, Caleb says, "Now therefore give me this mountain." Give me this mountain. Caleb's ready for the challenge, and he says that he will go in and drive the people off. The mountain that Caleb believes is his, the mountain promised to him, is now presently occupied by people. Caleb says he doesn't mind that a bit. He doesn't want somebody else to do the work for him. He's ready. He's prepared. He's able-bodied. He doesn't feel a single sense of entitlement. He believes that he will go in with God on his side, of course. Caleb has always been on God's side. Therefore, God has always been on Caleb's side. So Caleb knows that with God on his side, he will go in just like the Lord told him to do 45 years ago. He would go in now, 45 years later, claim the land for God's people, run off the people who are occupying it, and it will be his. You have to love his spunk. He's willing to work. He's not looking for somebody else to do the job that the Lord gave him. And then what happens next, we follow the events of the chapter by the people speaking Joshua's turn. Joshua is the new leader of the children of Israel. Not only is Joshua their new leader, but Joshua is Caleb's old partner. This is the same Joshua of the Joshua and Caleb pair that we read about in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. So Joshua is well aware of everything that Caleb's talking about, because he was right there with him. And Joshua makes this grand pronouncement here in the end of the chapter, Joshua chapter 14, verse 13 and following. Joshua blesses his old friend and partner and faithful follower of God, Caleb. And the Lord announces yet again, Joshua makes this pronouncement yet again, that Caleb wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You see that in Joshua chapter 14, verse 14. Because of Caleb's faithfulness, God was faithful to him. That's exactly the way it works. The Lord has promised us a lot of blessings because of our faithfulness to him. And if we endure in that faithfulness, if we have the same kind of faithfulness that Caleb has here, then the Lord is going to be as good and as perfect to us as he is to Caleb right here in Joshua chapter 14. It doesn't matter how long we're talking about. Time is something that we've come up with. Time doesn't mean anything to God. We have ownership of time, but God lives far above it. And the Bible even announces in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9, 10, and 11, that time is irrelevant to God regarding his promises. You see, it doesn't matter if the Lord made a promise a day ago or 1,000 years ago, because one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. If you're looking that up, then that's 2 Peter chapter 3, where we're given that information. One day equals 1,000 years, 1,000 years equals one day. And this is in a context of God's promise to us. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long it has been since the Lord said what he said. He is going to make good on that. It's been a long time since the Lord has promised to give us Christians the victory through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's been, relatively speaking, a long time ago. Nobody who was alive to hear Jesus talk about heaven in the flesh is around anymore. It's been a long, long time. But that doesn't matter with God, because all of those promises that he's made are just as fresh and sure to him as if they were spoken yesterday. Yesterday ago, 1,000 years ago, doesn't matter. The Lord is going to keep his promises. He's not going to forget about us. He did not forget about Caleb. A lot of stuff happened. A lot of stuff happened between Numbers chapter 13 and Joshua chapter 14. A whole lot. But God never lost track of Caleb. And Joshua here lets him know about that. Caleb at long last gets his portion of the promised land that they should have gone in and taken originally in Numbers chapter 13, but fear got the best of them. They lost their faith in the face of a challenge, but not Joshua, not Caleb. They stuck with what God said, and they were rewarded. And that's a lesson we can all take home from this study. They stuck to what God said, and they were rewarded. If we stick to what God has said, we will likewise be rewarded. It doesn't matter how far, how long it's been since the Lord has promised these blessings of heaven to us. If we stay on His side, He's going to stay on our side. And it doesn't matter how much stuff has happened since Jesus came that first time. It doesn't matter how much stuff has happened. The Lord is not losing track of us. The Lord has said that God takes care of us. He takes care of us in ways that we can hardly fathom. The Lord knows the numbers of hairs on our head. The Lord knows what we have need of before we even ask of it. We haven't fallen through the cracks with God. He knows what He has told us. He knows what we're doing. And there's no way that our faithfulness to God will go unrewarded. Caleb's faithfulness to God was rewarded a long time after the fact, and he's our example tonight about being faithful to God. I hope you are faithful to God. Before you can be faithful to God, of course, you have to be in the Lord, in His church, in His body. And the way that happens for someone is by being baptized. The Bible lets us know that baptism places us into the Lord's spiritual body, which is His church. We're baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says. And we're baptized to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4 let us know. But long before we can be baptized, long before we're ready for that step, there are some things that need to come first. First, we have to hear God's word. This is what produces faith, Romans 10, 17 says. And then we must believe it. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16 says. Then we repent of our sins. This is something that God commands everybody everywhere to do, Acts 17, 30. And then we confess that Jesus Christ is God's Son. The nobleman did this in Acts chapter 8 before his baptism. And speaking of baptism, we must be baptized too. We must be baptized too, because he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The Lord requires this step for our salvation. This is His will, His doing. We haven't invented this. The Bible teaches that when someone is baptized, his sins are washed away. And of course that's required for salvation to take place. Of course we must be baptized and have our sins washed away in order to be saved. And when we are saved, we have the challenge to be faithful. To be faithful for good all the way till the end, just like Caleb was. Knowing that God will be just as good to us as He was to Caleb, and better, because we now follow a better Savior. We follow Jesus and His new will for us that is built on better promises and a better sacrifice. And we have that hope of heaven if we're faithful to God. If you are not faithful to the Lord this evening, let us help you with that. If you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized so that you can be a member of the Lord's church, we would likewise love to help you with that. If you have any need of a spiritual nature, let us know how we can help while we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.